It is BBC Newcastle. It's radio for the North East. It's 9 minutes past 11 right now. So let me take you back to the 25th of January. And this is a story that I'm sure touched your heart. Everybody that heard this story, 67-year-old disabled pensioner Alan Barnes was just putting his bins out. An everyday occurrence, you put your bins out. And you don't expect to be attacked and pushed over and to be injured, but it happened to Alan. And obviously, given his vulnerability, it was a terrible, terrible story. Then in comes Katie Cutler, 21 years old. She starts an online appeal, hoping to raise about 500 quid. And she raises a whopping £330,000. And then her life changed. And now she's sitting opposite me. Katie, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you.
You look very good.
Thank you.
It's funny because off air there we were saying, oh, you look all showbiz and slim and kind of glamorous. What's happened to you? Is it the pressure of fame?
Well, no, I've taken part in this year's Fit Factor with the Journal. So I'm working with David Fairlamb, who is amazing. So he's been really helping me.
Well, you look great.
Thank you.
Your life must have changed completely. How has it affected you?
It has affected me a lot of ways. There's a lot of positives, and then there is like a couple of negatives as well. It's like my business, what I've got, it is a very busy business and it's quite successful, but that's sort of been pushed aside now. So I'm not able to work as much because I'm very busy doing things like this, and I've obviously
we're such a pain and nervous media
no,
thing.
No, I don't mind.
Honestly,
but that's probably the one of the negatives. I think maybe I might have to end up leaving my business behind, which is something I've had since I was 18 years old. So I have worked hard with that, but obviously now I've set up the Katie Cutler Foundation, so that's what I want to do.
Right. Well, we're going to talk more about that in a little bit. I just want to, I know we have heard this story, but I know some people may not have heard you speak about it. And what was your motivation? Because we hear sad stories and upsetting stories in the news all of the time. And yet we're not moved to do the same thing that you did. So what was it that particularly was the sort of catalyst for you when you read the story?
Well, when I read Alan's story, I was really upset. And the thing that stuck in my mind the most was that he was too scared to return home. And obviously, no one should ever feel like that. And my grandma, bless her, she's just being relocated into a council property. And I know that when you get a new property, they strip everything out, even the carpets and everything. So I thought, you know, it'll cost them a lot of money to move. And because I have quite a good support network around me, like friends and family, and also my clients as well, I thought, you know, I could probably raise about £500 to help them. And it obviously, what happened.
I just remember covering the story at the time, and every time we kept going, it's gone up again. Were you just incredibly shocked by it?
Yes, I still don't think it's sunk in just yet. It just happened so quickly. And my dad, he said, you know, it'll reach over £300,000. And it's not often that my dad's wrong. So I did sort of think, oh, goodness me. It was amazing. I couldn't sleep at night for checking the total.
And it wasn't just local people. It just went viral, didn't it?
It did. Every donation that we got, I would get an email, and a lot of people would put a message on there, and it would say where they came from. And it was just people from all over the world.
Did you panic at any point and go, this is getting out of control?
I don't think I panicked as such. I don't think I've cried so much ever in such a short space of time. I think I was crying all the time. But I think it was because I was so overwhelmed. I was so happy.
I think one of the most overwhelming moments for you must have obviously been when you met Alan. Can you talk us through how you felt?
It was very hard because obviously there's a lot of media there. So it's sort of like, it's hard to sort of be yourself, but like you just got to sort of forget that they're there. And I was just so overwhelmed. Like when I saw how small that he was, I got a bit of a shock, and that's why I couldn't stop crying.
Because his vulnerability is very clear, isn't it? Then?
And I really felt for him because I thought, you know, even if you take away that he's got a disability, even being a pensioner, that alone is terrible. But he hasn't got good eyesight. So not being able to see exactly who was behind him and pushed him, I think it would have been really scary for him.
And have you managed to have, you know, chats with him when you're not surrounded by us annoying media types?
Yeah, definitely. We've met up quite a lot. His brother-in-law Paul, he's really nice. It's almost like we've become like really good friends, all of us, like his family and my family.
So you're almost like a bit of extended family now. Oh. Well, we're going to talk some more in a couple of minutes about the Katie Cutler Foundation and how you do manage to be a businesswoman, a charity angel, and not least, a mother. She's a busy woman. And she's still got perfect eyebrows and makeup. How does she do it? It's Anna with you here on BBC Newcastle Radio for the North East. Now, I just want to take you back, if you've just joined us, to the night of the 25th of January when Alan Barnes, 67 years old, disabled pensioner, was taking out his bins. And then, of course, he was attacked. And then Katie Cutler, young beautician, saw the story, set up a little Facebook page. And before she knew it, £330,000 had been raised. Well, the story's moved on and we've got Katie back with us here in the studio, looking good, looking svelte and looking showbiz. We've discussed how Katie's life has changed and how you can't walk down the street anymore, can you, Katie?
No, not without being spotted.
Showbiz A-list life. How does that affect you? Does that upset you or are you okay with it?
I'm all right when I'm with friends and with other people, but when I'm on my own, I do sort of feel like I'm this one little person in this big world. Like people do stare at you. And I mean, me and my friend were once having food and this girl just like took a photo of me and I had a really sore tooth at the time, so I couldn't open my mouth properly to eat my food. But that was a bit embarrassing, wasn't it? But yeah.
Would you feel better if people sort of said, can I take a picture? You probably wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the story has moved on. Richard Gattis, the court case is over, but it must have been very difficult for you, the case.
Yeah, it was, because a lot of people sort of seen it as a celebration, but what upset me was, which is what was being in all the papers, the picture of me crying, was the fact that I know that his family had sort of disowned him and weren't supporting him. But I know his dad went to the trial and said something along the lines of, I'm here to support the son that I had, not the guy he's become. And I was sort of, it was a bit of a relief, because I know that he's got obviously a drug problem and he suffers from epilepsy and he's in a dark place. And I feel like you do need your family around you to support you, to help you get out of that place. Otherwise, it's just a road going down.
I know, because it was a very strange feeling, wasn't it? You know, stories kind of have this life, they ebb and flow, and there was so much outcry, and obviously there still is. The attack was abhorrent and it was disgusting, but then there was this almost sense, wasn't there, that people were thinking, how did this man get to this place where he felt he had to attack or he did attack? Did you sense that turn a little bit?
Yes, I did. I do feel that everyone has got a story behind them and everyone's got a background, and I know it has nothing to do with this, but, you know, say, for example, if I have a client booked in and they don't turn up, people have asked, well, do you send them a message, do you give them a call, be a bit funny with them, ask why they don't come. But I would never do that, because you don't know what's going on at home. So people have problems, and I hope now that he does get the right support, and I hope that his family are behind him, because obviously they are victims, the family.
I mean, that must have been difficult for them as well, because it became such a high-profile case.
I know that the press sort of inundated them, and obviously they're not the ones who've done wrong. So it's just sad, because a lot of people can be affected by it, and I hope that they can move on from it as well.
Did you feel any sort of negativity or get any negativity on social media? Because I know that is it can be a great place, obviously, for what happened, but it can also be a nasty place.
One lady who's a friend of the family did mention, maybe you should do something for the victims, Richard's family, because they are victims too. And she sort of like said things like, if you hadn't have done what you did, then he wouldn't have went to prison and things like that, which sort of, it was a bit harsh, because I am really sensitive. So I thought, oh goodness me, do you know what I mean? But I do see where she's coming from, and I'm just pleased that his dad was there to support him, because otherwise he would be totally on his own.
And if you hadn't done what you did, Alan wouldn't be moving into a new house.
Yeah.
So he's just about to pick up the keys for a new £150,000 home. Mm-hmm. And that's all down to you. Do you feel a little sense of pride? Or I imagine you're not...
I do. I feel happy, but I don't feel like it's all down to me. Like, because obviously I haven't physically given him all that money, but I have given him all my time, which has probably been it's taken over my life, really. But I'm so pleased that I've done it, and I just know that he's sorted for the rest of his life now, and he'll be safe. And not just that, like, he's back where he belongs in Lawfell, and there's so many people in the area that will support him, so he feels safe as well.
What's your relationship now? So will you get to see the new house? Will you go and pick out curtains?
I don't want to like invade too much, because I know that he likes to like make his own decisions. But like one thing, like I keep saying to him is like, I'll say, oh, like when we went on this morning, why don't you get a new suit? And he'll say, oh no, I don't want people to think that I'm showing off. But I get messages all the time saying like, what's he been spending his money on? Because people want to see him enjoy it. So I think that he needs to start enjoying it, because it's the money's for him, and well, it's no use if it's just sitting there. He might as well just enjoy himself.
Do you sense that he's not a particularly materialistic person?
No, I don't think he's materialistic at all. But even just because he does want to go to Barbados, doesn't he? So if he can try and make that,
we all do.
That would be nice.
I guess him getting the keys to the house really feels like the pinnacle of this story. So how does that make you feel, that he's got the keys?
I feel really happy. It's like sort of this is the part where you can celebrate. I think not with the sentencing, but now is when you can celebrate. And it's just, I think I'm in my own little bubble. I don't feel, I don't know. I just, because it's me, I'd cut, like, obviously if you're on the outside, it looks so different. But when it's you just, I don't know, you're just in this bubble and you can't believe it.
Do you think, Katie, that there's something within your personality that is either particularly endearing or particularly persuasive? Or is there something about you that has made people give, give, give? Because lots of charity pages are set up all of the time.
I think, I'm not too sure. I think I have that sense of trust from the public, because obviously they were donating all that money in my name it was. So I'm grateful that people are obviously trusted, but even like my family and friends around me, because they sort of started the donations and it snowballed from there. If I didn't have that good trust in people around me, then I probably wouldn't have started.
And obviously it started and it's not stopping. So tell us about the foundation.
The foundation is the Katie Cutler Foundation, and the website is just katiecutlerfoundation.co.uk, and we are on Facebook. And the foundation can support anyone, but you can nominate someone. Say, for example, if someone's got a terminal illness and they have a bucket list they'd like to fill, if someone is disabled, is currently having chemotherapy, young carers, anyone suffering from depression, if you've lost someone in your family, you can nominate someone who you feel deserves a little treat. So we've got things coming up, like we're going to have like a spa day and treat like six ladies who are currently having chemotherapy to a nice spa day afternoon tea, because people forget that the sick pay, what they have, is just the same as everyone else, and it does eventually run out, so it is hard. But then as the foundation gets bigger, that's when we can help people financially. But I'm getting thousands of people emailing asking for help, so I'm now ready to go. But I need businesses to get behind me, if there's any sponsors, the public to get behind me and help donate.
Because it's snowballed so fast, and you know, the best charities are run like a business. Mm-hmm. Well, they are businesses, well, yeah. You know, they have to be. How are you managing that?
I do have obviously knowledge from running a business before, so I do have knowledge of that. But to be honest, I've got so many good people around me who are wanting to support me. One of the trustees is actually Her Royal Highness Princess Katarina, and she's very much wants to get involved, and she's been involved in charities before. George Bond is also a trustee who is, I've become very good friends with. He's an interior designer, and he's got good knowledge and life experience. But also as well, Vince Garrington, who's the member of the manager of the Malmaison, he's really, really good. He's getting things in order and everything. I couldn't do it on my own.
I mean, I don't want to sound patronising at all, but you are very young for all this to have happened. Do you feel that sometimes? Do you just think, oh, it's a bit too much?
At the moment, we are having lots of meetings, and I come out and I have such a bad headache. I think, oh my goodness. And the other day, I came out of a meeting and I just sat and cried in the car. But it's just, the thing is, that the way I've got to say it is, I can help so many people. And I think if you have a job, you've got to work hard. So I'd like to make it my job, and I really want to work hard and help people.
We've got some Facebook and text messages coming. Steve on Facebook says, Katie is an angel sent from above. She is. Sean says, Katie is wonderful and a totally inspiring young lady to listen to. I mean, absolutely. You must have a lot of young people listening. You give them inspiration to go on and do good things, I suppose.
Well, the thing is, I think a lot of people don't realise how easy it is to just go and do something nice. And when I have had negative comments on like Facebook and social media, like I do ignore it. But the one thing I think is, instead of like sitting and being negative, go and just do something nice for someone, because it makes you feel a whole lot better.
You are so busy because you've got your own business, your mum, and this. How are you coping with keeping all those three going?
Well, my business has been pushed aside a little bit. I'm not working as much. The thing with my little girl Gracie is, a lot of the things I'm doing with the foundation, she can come along with me, so I don't feel like I'm missing out on her. But I've still obviously have my days off when I just like switch my phone off and not do anything. But it's just, I really enjoy it, and there's so many people who I really want to help, and I know that I'll be able to help them. I know I will. There's no way I wouldn't.
And you did win a beauty award whilst all this is going on.
Oh,
didn't
yes,
you?
I did, yeah. Beautician of the Year, which I'm so thrilled about. I really, really am.
So, Katie, if people want to find out more, where should they go?
They should go to the website, which is katiecutlerfoundation.co.uk. And we are still looking for ambassadors. If there's any celebrity ambassadors, if Ant and Dec are listening and they would like to.
Oh, they listen all the time. They love the show. They're their absolute favourite. They never listen to Radio 2. It's always BBC Newcastle.
Please come forward. But we do definitely, if there's any businesses, any hotels that have events coming up and they'd like to run the foundation alongside that, I'd be very, very grateful. But I'm quite easy to get into contact with at the moment, so
you can find her on social media. And finally, a very profound and important question that I think a lot of people will be really desperate to hear: how do you get the perfect eyebrow?
it's benefit browsing, and it's just, God, I pencil them all in because I'm allergic to hair dye. So
it's all about the grooming. I'm so glad I asked that important question. Katie Cutler, thank you so much for coming in today to BBC Newcastle.